Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. At today's show, we're going to learn about the Army's substance abuse program and review the mission of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And joining me in the studio today is a retired State Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Doug, I think we're going to have a good show today, and we're going to learn a lot of good things.
Yeah, we sure are, and I'm looking forward to it, Tom.
Before we get started, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. Here's Major General Sean Mankey.
On December 13, 1636, Massachusetts colonists banded together, forming a militia that defended their communities from attack. From those humble beginnings came today's National Guard, which proudly serves across our 54 states and territories. The iconic image of a colonial militia member setting aside their farmer's plow and picking up their musket still represents us well today. We may now also be software engineers, aviation mechanics, and other professionals our predecessors could not have imagined at the time. But our citizen airmen and soldiers continue to live as they did, ready to respond to the call of our state and nation. To those who have and those who continue to serve as members of our National Guard, thank you. Ours can be a challenging path to follow, but your service and the support of your families, employers, and communities ensures that we are a force that is truly always ready, always there.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the start of the show, we're going to talk about the Army Substance Abuse Program for the Minnesota National Guard. And joining us in the studio now is Chris Popelka, who is the Substance Abuse Prevention Coordinator. Chris, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to see you.
Chris, I understand you served some time in the Army National Guard and maybe spent some time with the Sergeant Major while you were in.
Yes, that I did, actually. He was my battalion Sergeant Major at one point, and I did 34 years Minnesota Army National Guard, 14 on the part-time side, and then I picked up on the full-time side and ended up retiring in June 2020.
Sergeant Major, here you are again, one of your soldiers in the studio.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how things come back full circle, right? As I get out and about and I get to see people, and it's great to see, and we'll hear more about Chris's story in a little bit, but it's great to see you back in and supporting the organization, and I know you're providing great support, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story and you sharing it with our audience.
And also in the studio, we have Heather Asleason, who's a licensed alcohol and drug counselor. And Heather, you spent some time in the Army Reserves.
I did. I did 8 years with the 7212th Medical Unit in Rochester. I was a dental hygienist over there. So.
And how long have you been with the Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program?
It'll be 8 years in March.
8 years in March. Mm-hmm. And how long has he been working with you?
20 months.
20 months. Okay. Well, he spent a few more years in the Army. So
he did.
That's good. Now, Heather, I want to talk to you first. The Substance Abuse Program, what's the mission there for the Minnesota National Guard?
So the mission of the Substance Abuse Program, we provide testing, prevention, and education and counseling services to service members. So our goal is to strengthen the overall fitness and effectiveness of the workforce and to enhance the combat readiness of soldiers.
And Chris, I want to come to you. You've been with this program for about 20 months. How did you finish out your career, and how did you arrive at working for the Substance Abuse Program for the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, it ended up working for the program based on my struggles as with alcohol. Within my last 10 years before retirement, there was a 5-year stretch when I returned from Afghanistan that I struggled with substance use, alcohol. And I ended up, after I reached out for help and got to the point where I was more valuable to the program, they asked me if I would volunteer for the program. Volunteered with them, and as I retired, they said, "We have an opening. We'd like you to come on with us."
So essentially you're telling us that because of your experience in the Army and being deployed, you went to the School of Hard Knocks and you learned about substance abuse the hard way.
That is very accurate. It was an interesting ride there for about 5 years.
Sergeant Major, some of your troops do learn things the hard way, but they learn, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, there's more to Chris's story here. And that is that you had the struggles with alcohol. You overcame it. And then after the deployment, you went back to those times again. And I think it's just a reminder that this is something that we or those who are struggling with any type of substance abuse, they have to work at it every single day, don't they?
Yes, it's not just you're never cured. It's a constant mindfulness is probably the best way I can say it. You have to understand that it is something that's not ever going to go away. It's always going to be there. It's just whether you make the choice whether you're going to actively use or not.
We're talking about the Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Chris, you told us the story a little bit before we went on the air, but you were deployed, and you'd had some issues with substance abuse in the past. You came home from a deployment, and you kind of dove in. Things got bad. Can you share the story with us?
Sure. Previous to deployment in 2010, 2011, I had been sober for 16 years. And I told myself that if I, you know, and they say alcohol is cunning, baffling, powerful. I told myself if I returned home from deployment, I could start drinking again. I did so. It did not go well. In 5 years from 2011 to or 4 years from 2011 to 2014 or 15, I went from first sergeant, which is a E8, all the way down to a staff sergeant due to my alcohol use. And then I took me a while, sobered up, and maintained my job within the military and progressed back up to rank.
So you got back from that deployment and you took a couple of drinks that tasted pretty good and you just dove in.
Correct. It was not a short stint, and it I would say from that first drink I knew I was in trouble, but I did not reach out for help to do anything about it.
Did you know at the time that that there was a substance abuse program and help available to you in the National Guard?
Yes, I did. I knew it was there, and I'm not sure if it was pride or embarrassment to reach out again. I was struggling, you know, with the adjustment from deployment. And I was struggling with the alcohol use, and I knew it was there, and I don't know why I didn't reach out other than I was probably concerned about a stigma behind it.
So this affected your family and your career, and fortunately you lived through that time.
Oh, yes, I did, definitely. It was a struggle. I have a wonderful wife. She stood by me. And so as I did that, and got healthy, you know, my career started to progress again much better than it was before.
And so you spent some more time in the Army National Guard and working for the Army National Guard after that until about 20 months ago, and you made this change. Has this been good for you to make this change and try to help people that are experiencing what you went through back then?
Absolutely. Be honest with you, Tom, I would do this for free. Okay, don't tell the company that, but I would do that for free. If I can bring my story to the soldiers, and I still get to be with soldiers, which is wonderful, and just one of them reaches out for help or does not go down the path that I went down, then it's worth it to me.
And Chris, you have learned this the hard way. You've experienced it. You went through it. You learned the hard way. You learned that there's help available, and now you can testify to that to our current soldiers and airmen. It puts you in a position where you have a lot of credibility and you're believable.
Yeah, you know, I do. I'm real open with my story, as you've seen here. And when I put that, you know, or bring that to the soldiers when I'm talking with them, they actually see a face to the story and realize that this is a real issue. But they also realize there's help out there and you can come back from it.
And I would guess they're sitting on the edge of their seats when they hear your story and when you go out and greet them when they come back from deployments and whenever you're in front of them.
Yes, it is. I throw a twist in there. I use a scenario and they don't know it's me in the scenario. And once I get done with the scenario, then I say, and here's what you need to know. That was my story.
Well, and that gets their attention. I'm sure that gets them to sit up and say, there's help available for me, and maybe we better talk some more.
Correct. And, you know, I like to say, don't do what I did or don't do what Chris did. You know, reach out for help. Don't be too proud. We will take care of you, and it will not affect your career.
Very good. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about the Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program with Chris Popelka, who is a Substance Abuse Prevention Coordinator, and Heather Asleason, a licensed alcohol and drug counselor. And Heather, I want to get to you. Chris took too much time in that first segment.
He really did.
But he likes to do that. If I'm a service member, if I'm in the Army National Guard, and I think I'm having issues, financial issues, family issues, and I'm drinking too much and I need some help, and I contact the substance abuse program and I get a hold of you and I say, I'm having troubles. Can you help me? What do you do? How do you handle that?
Well, the first step is we're going to set up a chemical health assessment, right? So this assessment is a tool that we use across the state of Minnesota. And based on what that service member reports to us, that's going to determine whether you meet criteria for a substance use disorder. So we hate the word if you have an issue, but that's essentially what people usually say, right? So an example would be like mild alcohol use disorder or severe cannabis use disorder. So we do the assessment, and then based on what you told us, we decide if you need a higher level of care, like inpatient, outpatient, stuff like that.
So if I drank a case of beer last weekend, do I have a problem? And what are you going to do with me?
No. No. No, everyone's different. So if you do need a higher level of care, that's our job, is to find you the treatment center, right? We work with your insurance, and we work with your unit, too. If your unit is aware of what's going on, we talk to your unit and be the liaison between the treatment center and your unit.
Now, when does the unit always notified? If I call you and I don't want them to know about it, I just want some help, can it be confidential?
Absolutely. And that's what people, we've been seeing a lot of that. We've been seeing a lot of that, and we've been seeing a lot of self-referrals because a lot of people are worried about what the unit will think, right? There's a stigma with mental health. There's a stigma with substance use. So the unit does not have to know. They can contact us directly.
So I'm a soldier. I've been in for 12 years. I want to complete my 20, and I don't want to get in any trouble, but I know I need some help. I can come to you and keep it confidential.
100%.
And get some help and be able to continue my career.
100%.
Okay, well, that's the important thing. What happens if I have to take a few weeks off and go to in treatment? How do we handle that?
Well, if you're full time, your units are usually typically willing to work with you, right? People are able to leave their jobs if you have to go to inpatient. You have rights through your employer. We have people leave treatment or leave their civilian jobs all the time to go to treatment, right?
So the chosen treatment is going to be dictated by the insurance or by where you work?
Nope. So the chosen treatment, if you meet the highest level of care, which would be inpatient, if you meet criteria for a substance use disorder, that's like high or severe alcohol use disorder, you typically need inpatient. The second level is outpatient. So that's a couple times a week, a couple hours a night. So like in examples, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 to 9. So it's slowly a step-down program.
So is that second one like group sessions with other people?
Yep, group, individual, yep.
Talking about, I had this problem, and,
yep.
I took the pot, or I took the beer, or whiskey, or whatever it was.
Yep, groups, and then learning skills, to maintain your abstinence.
I think I'm the only one in the world that has trouble. So if I go to this group meeting, and I find other people have similar troubles, does that help me feel better?
Yes, absolutely. And then working with veterans, too, having that connection of, being with people that are in the same, that understand the military culture.
Now, Heather, I do have to ask a question. If I'm a service member and I come to you and the assessment says, all right, you need some help, but I don't have insurance and I can't afford to pay for it, is there some resource available to help me as a current service member so I can still get the treatment I need and continue to have a great career?
Yep. So if somebody is eligible for county fundings, there's certain criteria that you can meet county funding eligibility. So then they will help pay for treatment.
And you would provide that assistance, at least make that contact so that I, as a service member, can get that taken care of. Okay.
So you make it your business to know where all the resources are available so that they can get some help.
Yep.
All right.
So money's not an excuse then is what I'm hearing.
No.
Don't think
there
because you don't have it.
There are resources out there. Yep.
We're talking about the Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program on Minnesota Military Radio. And Chris, I want to come over to you. I saw a video online where you were talking about stigma. And I know back 50 years ago when I was in the Air Force and I wanted to stay in, if I had a problem like this, I want to keep it confidential and take care of it so it wouldn't interfere with my career. I'm hearing and I've heard over the last decade that that's not an issue anymore, but is it? Is there a stigma to getting help? Is it a problem or isn't it a problem?
I think, Tom, honestly, that the problem sits with we're breaking out of the past. We're trying to change a paradigm when it comes to that. And a lot of times we as an individual are reticent to think things have changed. So the stigma lies oftentimes within our own selves. Yet, as a group, I've always seen nothing but support, but people are still afraid that there is a stigma behind it. When you reach out for help, it's not that there is no stigma. People do nothing but support.
So there, if you've got a problem, you're feeling that it's an issue, you don't have trust, it sounds risky, but maybe you know you need to get some help, and at some point you have to take a chance. I want to, my co-host with us today is Doug Wortham. Doug, I want you to reach into your past. You were the senior enlisted leader for the Minnesota National Guard for 5 years. You're retired now. But when you were in that position, the state command sergeant major, what did leadership think about getting resources for their soldiers and airmen that had some issues, whether it's substance abuse or suicidal thoughts or other issues? Was that an impediment to their career?
Absolutely not. As a senior leader in the organization, our concern, of course, is to provide that capable and ready force. And in order to have a capable, well-trained, and ready force, we have got to have service members who can come in and perform their mission and be on their A game. And so when we talk about mental health issues, substance abuse problems, things of that nature, those are things that keep people off of their A game. And so when we can provide to them the resources that they need, we know we will get that service member back on the team to help us with our mission. So in every organization that I was in as a leader, from, you know, platoon sergeant, first sergeant, all the way up through CSM, and each of the commanders I served with, our number one goal was to take care of our soldiers, our service members, get them the help assistance that they need so they can be productive members of the team. And the mission part of it, although extremely important, wasn't as important as taking care of that soldier or that service member so they could be back on the team and be a full productive member.
Get them some help, get the problem fixed, work with them to do it, and then yeah, get them back to work and back on their career.
Absolutely. It's so darn important. And I think Chris's story really has that testament, right? Here's a guy who accepted the consequences of his actions, and you paid a heavy cost for it with the reduction in rank. But what you did is you got the help you needed, you came through it, you got promotion back, and you were able to retire and have a great career because of it.
So, Heather, I want to come back to you. We've just heard that when Doug was in a senior leader position, the Minnesota National Guard said, let's take care of our soldiers and airmen. If they have some issues, let's fix it, get them some help, get them back to work. Do you feel like the soldiers or airmen that you come in contact with are aware of that?
Yeah, I think it's come a long way. Just being here the 8 years, I've seen a difference in the change of command. You know, when because I have to call the unit, right, to talk to them about the service member if they are a unit referral. And I've seen a big change in the way, just their demeanor when I call them. And then they are also doing everything on their end. You know, we're trying to get the resource, and they are too. We kind of work as a team to get them everything they need, whether it's financial, housing, everything like that. So,
Chris, it would make sense if the Minnesota National Guard's got 10, 12, 14 years invested in a soldier or airman. They're trained. They know their MOS, their AFSC. They're a valued asset, and they're a valued member of the force. Just makes sense to me that if they're having an issue, if we can help them fix it and then get them back to work, that's the right way to go.
I would agree. And honestly, once I reached out for help, that's exactly what happened. They covered down on me. They allowed me the time to get better and heal myself and come back and complete my career.
Well, Doug, sounds like we're hearing from the bottom up that they got the message from the top down. I'm glad to hear that in the Minnesota National Guard. And, of course, we've been dealing with suicide prevention, drug prevention, sexual assaults, everything for 10 years. We're getting the messages from the Adjutant General. We're here to support you. We're here to fix this. We're here to get things going. So we're hearing today from these two that message is out there. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we can say it enough. We have to continue to express that. We are here for you. We want you to get the help and support that you need because we want you to be a productive member, not only of the military team, but in your personal life too, because we know there's consequences on personal life with your families, with your employer, if you're not a full-time member of the Guard. So absolutely, we want to have the well-rounded soldier, service member, airman in our organization.
So Chris, if we've got soldiers and airmen listening to today's show and they need some help for some kind of mental health issue, where do they go?
I would say the best way to go about that is just Google Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program, and the link will pop right up there, and there will be contact numbers. Everything will be right there for them to be squared away.
Heather, do you want to echo that? Anything else to add?
No, I think he covered it all.
All right. You look like you're ready to take care of any soldier or airman that calls.
Always ready.
All right. Chris and Heather, thanks for joining us today. We were talking to Chris Popielka and Heather S. Leeson from the Minnesota National Guard Substance Abuse Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn all about the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, my co-host is retired State Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. And Doug, in this segment, in the fourth segment, we're going to learn everything we ever wanted to know about the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers.
You know, and it's always great to have that conversation just to learn about what's new, what's coming up, what's going on, and remind our service members out there where to go when they need to get some help about the benefits that they're eligible for.
The first stop for any kind of benefits for related military service is your county veteran service officer. Going to learn that in a minute, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Are you interested in serving veterans? Do you strive to improve the lives of others? A career with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs could be the right fit for you. MDVA is continually looking for qualified employees who want to work with our team. One person alone can't accomplish our mission. When you join the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you are joining a team that is committed to helping serve Minnesota veterans and their families. Whether you are a veteran, family member, or an individual, you can make a difference today by supporting our nation's heroes. We have full-time and part-time positions throughout Minnesota in both the Programs and Services and Veterans Homes divisions. To find current opportunities at MDVA, visit minnesotaveteran.org/careers. MDVA is committed to a policy of equal opportunity and maintains an affirmative action program.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Doug, joining us now is Marty Howes. He is the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Is he in the studio? Marty, great to have you here, and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate that. It's great to be here in studio instead of remote, so this is great.
Nice of you to drive down for today's show so we could put a face to your voice, and we'll be talking to you every 4 weeks going forward and getting updates on all the great things that your county veteran service officers are doing all over Minnesota to help our veterans.
It's a wonderful thing. Thank you. I look forward to it.
All right. Marty, can you tell us you served in the Army as well as the National Guard?
Yep. I was in the regular Army. I was stationed at Schofield Barracks, Hawaii, deployed, came back, and got out of the active Army, and I went into the National Guard. Stuck around with that until about 2000 is when I got out of the Guard. I went active duty in 97, 94 to 97, it was active duty, and then after that was National Guard. So,
Doug, cushy duty over Schofield Barracks.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, it must have been extremely difficult for you for that first 3 years.
You know, it was challenging. We had our fair share of challenges. There's no joke about the gulches there and the some of the training you get to do. They got some great jungle training there.
But I'm sure the weather made up for it.
Yeah, only on the weekends.
So, Marty, tell us, how did you get to become the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer?
You know, that's an interesting story. I've spent a lot of time in my own community helping and working with the service organizations, my local VFW and my local Legion. And then also some of the other legions in neighboring towns. You know, we're a pretty tight-knit community, or, you know, the county is actually. And the job was opening up. The guy that was in it was looking to move on to greener pastures. And I saw the ad, and I talked to a couple guys about it. Hey, what do you think? You think I could do something like this? You think I'd make up with this? And give it a run. And so I threw my hat in the ring, and luckily I came out on top. So, and I've been there ever since, so.
Now, when you first started as a Roseau County Veteran Service Officer, did you get some help from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, get some training? And there's a lot of training that your county veteran service officers do all the time.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I got a lot of training. MDVA was key to the success out of the office, especially when you're just starting and you're just getting in there. They spent a lot of time showing you and, you know, here's how you do this. This is what you need to do here. And then the rest of it you kind of get and you figure out as you go. But to get you off on the right foot so you're not, you know, just off the deep end, you know, or drowning, they were there and it was they did a good job. So
Marty, we've been talking with you and your predecessors for about 11 years on Minnesota Military Radio, and the message that we get out over and over again is if any of our veterans have any issues related to their time in service, the first place they should go is go visit their county veteran service officer, whether it's Roseau County or Hennepin County or any county. You don't have to go in your county. You can go to any county, and you and your fellow county veteran service officers train twice a year. You're training all the time to find out all the resources available to help our veterans.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Any county, you can go. And our training with our conferences that we do, we have our spring and our fall conference. But with COVID and everything else that's gone on, we've actually upped our training, and we have continuous training just about throughout the year now, virtual. So, you know, we're always on top of our game, or at least we're striving to be there. So,
and as an association, you have a spring and a fall conference every year, and a lot of the things you do at those conferences is training and having people present information about resources as well.
Yeah, that's right. Out of our fall conference, for example, we have usually people from the VA there coming to talk about, you know, what's going on in the healthcare with regard to claims and how to, you know, what they're looking for and how to help us help the veterans of Minnesota out so that they can, you know, maximize their benefit that they've earned from their honorable service. And we've also had MDVA there too. Their partnership, it's just great that we have this relationship that is it's just second to none, and it's nice when you can work together like that and you know, come out on top.
We're speaking with Marty House, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, on Minnesota Military Radio. And Marty, back to those spring fall conferences, we've had the pleasure of attending a couple times and doing a radio show from there. And we've seen that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, a lot of their staff is there coordinating and helping. We've seen the veteran service organizations in there, VFW, American Legion, they're all there. And, of course, a lot of those veteran service organizations have advocates that can help process a claim. But I want to come back, and Doug, I want to come back to you. I know you recently got out of the military, and I think you went online to process a claim with the VA. But what we tell most people is go to your county veteran service officer. They know the language. They know the forms. They know how to help. And, Marty, they can just come to you or one of your people, and you can help them file that claim.
Yeah, and that's a great place to start. When you go see your county veteran service officer, you're seeing an individual that's going to be there to assist you the whole way through your claim and also has the resources to provide you with the where to go to find other benefits, you know, whether it's obtaining an ID card, maybe benefits that are out there within the community, certain businesses and what they give out, all of that stuff, and we're there for them. We're going to help them with education. We're going to help out with, you know, just your all around from end of the career to end of life, I guess, if you will. We're there and we're involved and we're helping those families out too.
Marty, I've heard that some of our veterans lost their discharge papers and they went to their county veteran service officer, and quite often you can help them find a copy.
Yes, we can. We've actually got this new program that's, well, it's fairly new, and it's run through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and you can get on there. It's called DADS, and it's a discharge, you know, where you can go on there to obtain discharges all across the state of Minnesota. So a lot of times we can get that information very quick, you know, because we all in the state work together. You know, it's a very unique bond and you know, group of people that we have, you know.
And Marty, another group that comes to your spring and fall conference is some of the people from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. They're in there, they're getting to know your county veteran service officers and trying to solve problems, make things easier.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have them. It's nice that they can take that time out of their day to spend it with us so that, you know, we can help our veterans, and they want to help the veterans of Minnesota out too. So that collaborative effort there is it's really something special.
Doug, we're lucky in Minnesota. We've got a great VA medical center, and we've got all these county veteran service officers and the MDVA here. A lot of resources available for your old troops and our veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I was going to ask, I want to ask Marty is, you know, we in this radio show, we want to put out information, give updates to our service members currently or retired, whatever. Is that another reason why it's so important for our service members to come in and make contact with their county veteran service officer so you know who they are, that they're in the county, so that you can help provide some of those updates and help them along through that process as they're needed?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. And a lot of times, just like with what you said, they'll get the first piece of information and then a little time will go by. Well, what's happening now? And a lot of times you have repeat veterans, if you will, or repeat clients that are coming back, and they're coming to get more and more of that because it's ever changing. You know, everything with the VA is changing, claims change all the time, laws change. And so, yeah, we're a great source of that information.
So for our veterans listening out there, even if you don't have an issue you need help with, stop in and see your county veteran service officer. Get registered with them in case you ever need some help or in case your family needs some help in the future. We're talking to Marty Howes, who is the Roseau County County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. Marty, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I know you've got some information you want to share about open enrollment and some other things, and we'll try to get through that. Stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, along with our co-host, Doug Wortham. We've been talking to Marty Howes, who is the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And Marty, we got to get into some of the meat of this stuff here. And I know that you wanted to talk about open enrollment and Medicare, and you're getting a lot of questions from our veterans.
Right, Tom. That's one of the biggest questions that I get out of the office is, you know, what should I do? What's out there for me? We have a lot of veterans that are just coming up onto that where they're starting to retire, and they're trying to figure some of this stuff out. They're talking to other people that are out there maybe selling these policies or things of that nature. But they want somebody they can trust. They want somebody that they've established this relationship with, like their CVSO, because they know they've been with us, we've worked with them, helped them through a lot of the other things that they've done, and they know they can get a good answer here. So
once they're old enough and they get to Medicare, they're worried about these choices, the supplements and all of these programs, and where do I go?
Yeah, exactly. They don't, you know, it's a big choice, and they know at that time, it's life decision time. You know, that's where we're at now. So how do I do this and how do I navigate this? So a lot of times we do a lot of homework on things that, you know, we're not in the insurance business, of course, but we are there and we're educated and I guess, if you will, bone up on some of that stuff so that we can provide the best information that we can for them to steer everybody.
You and your county veteran service officers kind of study up on that so you can help give them a little bit of guidance and help them to make choices.
You betcha. And there's a lot of things. You know, one of the biggest things that we're out there to do is maximize the benefit for the veteran. It's all about the veteran and how we can improve, you know, maybe a quality of life or whatever else it is that we need to do. And this is one of the things that that's out there that is always open to the veteran. And a lot of veterans don't know that they can get into this at any time.
Doug, the CVSOs are taking care of your old troops. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I was just, as you're describing, you know, what's going on with the enrollment and the benefits, I'm thinking to myself, you know, why wouldn't somebody want to come to the CVSO? Because you're not there to make money, right? You're not an insurance sales agency. You're there to take care of your primary customer, which is the veteran. And whether they actually sign up for the service, you don't rely on that for your paycheck. The county is paying you to take care of our veterans. So your vested interest is giving the best care to our veterans.
Exactly right. That's the whole crux of it all. And we're going to be there and we're going to help them out. And, you know, for the premiums and stuff like that, usually you have a choice. You can get into like an Advantage plan and that's got your medical and drug plan kind of all wrapped up together. And that's a network that you have to stay within. There's a network of care that you have to go. The other side of it is the supplement side. And it's my understanding you can go from an Advantage plan to a supplement plan at any time of the year you just can't go back the other way. And your supplement plans are gonna also help out with a lot of that. And these zero plans that are out there, that because if you're enrolled in the VA and you're receiving that VA health care, you can get into these supplement plans, and they're taking money off your Part B. I mean, you're talking $50 a month, 55 this next year. So you're going to have premiums, you know, around, what, 120, 115 bucks a month, which, you know, with this new increase that's come out there, there's not a lot of happy campers excited about this 5.9 they got to shell out.
Save that 50 bucks a month, Marty. I love it. I want to talk a little bit about you partner closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and, of course, with them, there's an organization called the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 8 congressionally chartered service organizations like VFW, American Legion, the DAV, all of those folks. And we have them on the show every year because they get together representing all of their combined memberships, and they set up what's called some legislative priorities, and they take it up to the Capitol in the spring and talk to our legislators about those priorities. You work with them as well.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to get to spend some time with the Commander's Task Force, and I'll tell you what, these guys are motivated. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going with things. They're here, and they're listening and bringing up issues and things that we can change in the state here to improve for our veterans, and they're listening to us too, the CVSOs. We're the boots on the ground, if you will, that where that veteran's coming. And if they're coming here first, which is what they should be doing, we get that opportunity to work with them. And they've got just a great agenda set up, and it's great to work with them.
We're speaking with Marty Howes from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Marty, I know that you had some information today. You wanted to talk a little bit about the Dental Care for Veterans Act.
Yeah. There was bills that had come out there with regard to the Dental Care and the CVSO Act, and they've been kind of just sitting around. And what we need our veterans to do here, because the CVSO can't do all this. This is where we all get together and work as a collaborative effort, and go and talk to your legislator and talk to him about this. The Dental Act was H.R. 914, and that revolved around as a healthcare enrollee in the VA, you could then be eligible for dental care. That's what this was to do. And right now, it hasn't gained any traction, and it's just kind of sitting there. And we need guys to, you know, get in there and say, hey, let's get this thing going again. Let's fire this up.
So call your elected officials and say, we need some of this help, and some of our veterans need that dental help. So we'd want to talk about, it was H.R. 914, is that right?
Yep, H.R. 914. That was the dental one that came out. And, you know, get out there and talk to your representatives, talk to your, you know, and let them know where that this is something, this is a priority to you, because that's the only way that these things get changed.
And then, Marty, you mentioned the CVSO Act. I understand there was some funding in there to help the CVSOs take care of the veterans.
Oh, yeah. This has been pushed on, and it's got huge national support from NACVSO, which is the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, NACO, which is National Association of Counties. You know, we've got great leadership throughout the state of Minnesota that has all signed on to this and stood behind this. And this takes and puts funding locally down to the counties, so it doesn't get washed through a bunch of other stuff. It's direct funding down to the counties to benefit veterans locally.
Now, Marty, we just got a few minutes left. I've talked to hundreds of veterans in the last 11 years on this show, and a lot of folks, Doug, a lot of your troops, once they retire from the Minnesota National Guard, they get out and they want to help fellow veterans. They ask questions. How can I help? And you must get those questions, you and your fellow county veteran service officers.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. We get a lot of people always willing to help and wanting to be a part of something. And, you know, it starts off with coming to see your county veteran service officer. A lot of times we've got events or things that are going on. And whether they're on county websites or if you go on to, like, the MDVA website, too, they've got their own website you can log on to, and that has a list of all the events that are going on throughout the state. And I should have touched on this before, but they also have a great legislative page too. So if you want to track some of these bills and stuff like we had just talked about, you can go on there and you can find out where things are at, what they are, and really do your history so you know what you're talking about before you talk to somebody.
Very good. And Marty, we just got about a minute and a half left, but we've talked about, you heard the commissioner today, he said he's got spots opening, he's hiring. It's a great place to work at the MDVA and help our veterans. But also, we've heard over the years that both the MDVA at the veterans' homes and the Minneapolis VA healthcare systems, they couldn't survive without volunteers.
That's right. That's right. Volunteers make up a big portion of that, and a lot of things wouldn't get done without them. And just as they're looking for, that's a great field to get into when you can give back, because that's what we, you know, as veterans, a lot of us, that's what we're always looking to do. We're always looking to contribute it. And how can I give? How can I be a part of something? And there's all kinds of opportunities out there to be a part of something and to continue giving.
And another great way to do that is when the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, drives their veterans to their medical appointments. Those are all volunteer drivers. So they go to davmn.org, and you can volunteer for that. Just a few seconds left. Marty, any final thoughts?
Just thank you for letting me be here today, and all the veterans that are out there. Go see your county veteran service officer. We're here to help, and we're going to take care of you.
Very good, Marty. I'm glad you drove down to see us today. A pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
That was Marty Howes, who is the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, including my co-host Doug Wortham, Chris Popelka, and Heather S. Leeson, Marty Howe from president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week for our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show. It's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.